Thanks for downloading ThistlePod. I'm Fiona Ritchie, and our podcasts take us back into our NPR programme archive to remember some of the great visits we've enjoyed with artists who helped define the sound of today's music from Celtic roots. This time, Dave Richardson looks back on the early days of the legendary Boys of the Loch.
What was the life of a folk musician, traditional musician, like back then in the early 70s?
Well, there's an expression in America, 24/7. Well, it was 24/7 party, I think. But we did a lot of concerts and clubs and coffee houses, festivals. But one of the main enjoyments for us was just, I mean, it was a party. It was really exciting, you know. I mean, you're going to America, that was a great thing back then. I mean, we kind of coincided with the first jumbo jet, you know, and that was when travel became cheap, and that helped music to be disseminated because the musicians could actually travel. They could afford to get on planes. And the other great thing was just the rise in home stereos and cassettes and all this new domestic recording and playback technology. So people could access a much wider range of music than ever they could before. And also learn it in that way as well, using cassettes. You didn't have to be with the guru. You know, you could have the guru in your own house and learn that stuff.
Yeah. And possibly also the growth at a similar time in the US of public radio, which then took hold of some of this music and gave people a chance to hear it on. Commercial radio hadn't really touched much of this kind of music in the past.
No, you couldn't get any play on the local stations. You know, we used to drive extremely long distances and you could never find any music you wanted to listen to. There was a lot of top 40 and masses of country music. There was the odd jazz station. We used to listen to jazz anywhere when we were around New York or New Jersey. But then that one got bought out one day and we tuned into that frequency and it was top 40 country music. Yeah. And it just went. So public radio performed a great function in providing a platform, another platform.
I think it was about 10 years ago that I first introduced the Boys of the Loch on a Prairie Home Companion, and for some reason I was almost positive that it was pronounced Luff, the Boys of the Luff. I don't know why, but it's a sign of true intellectuals that we mispronounce a lot of words because we're basically readers. And I was so sure of this, and I just wasn't going to bother them with it and ask them about it backstage at the World Theater because they had just come up on an 11-hour, or what should have been 11-hour, car trip from Chicago on that Saturday in a car that had a bad muffler, or mockler, I suppose, as you could say. And they'd taken in a good many fumes and sat in close proximity to each other for longer than they'd counted on. And they looked kind of half-ruined, as if maybe 10 years of being a Celtic string band was about enough for them. I tell you, it was a sad sight backstage. It was a hard life back there in those days. Those poor guys going around from coast to coast, coming in from overseas and doing these weird tours that were planned by some booking agent who used a very tiny map of the United States. So they'd start out in Portland, Maine, and they'd play the next night in Portland, Oregon, and they'd go down to Pensacola for Tuesday, and they'd be in Omaha, San Diego, and Pittsburgh before you knew what was going on. Going around in these little tiny cars and playing for tiny fees in front of tiny crowds, or else traveling on these incredible low-budget airline tickets, the kind where you can fly on odd-numbered Wednesdays, or on Tuesdays if you stay at least 9 days and no longer than 7. on strange, nameless airlines, where you board the plane directly from the ticket counter, going over the counter and down the conveyor and back in there among boxes and suitcases in the dark, bumping around, you and other people, and there are crates of chickens and there are goats and pigs going down that chute with you. You get back in the plane and there's no seats. There's just a plain metal floor. People are lighting fires, cooking fires, and talking strange languages. Airline steerage, these people have traveled that. They've been that road. To think of being a part of this Celtic string band for 20 years, and then to think of being the leader of this band, is almost beyond my imagination. To be Dave Richardson, the administrator of this band. I tell you, when he comes out here, he's the tall, blonde sort of guy. I'd like you to look at him and think of him as possibly the Democratic nominee for president of the United States. Why not? From being leader of the Boys of the Lock to being leader of the free world is a short jump, I think. The man is qualified, but anyway, I was almost sure it was Boys of the Luff. And then I saw a young woman backstage who seemed to be with them, or looked as if she wanted to be with them. As if perhaps she had been with them and was going to rejoin them at some point. And I asked her, and I've always been so grateful that I asked, and that she knew the answer. And so I would like to dedicate this song to her, wherever she may be tonight. Well, I've come here to talk about the Boys of the Lock. They've been heroes for a long, long time. A real fine band from my granddaddy's land, so some of their music is mine. They play jigs and reels and hornpipes on wheels, so real that you can smell the breeze. And when they play a number from good old Northumberland, it's raining in the balconies. Oh, when sweet Ollie Bain plays an old Shetland strain, his music keeps you from the cold. And Cathal McConnell sings ballads like monologues as true as any ever told. John Coakley's from Cork, a one-person orchestra, a man both gifted and trained. And when Christy O'Leary plays his bagpipes, my dearie, you will know if you are Celtic or you ain't. But my favorite one is Dave Richardson, and it isn't just because he's tall and a peerless musician in the Celtic tradition and a humorist. It ain't that at all. He's their leader, their pater, their administrator, who's devoted his life to this work, to manage and steer and make sure they came here. And not to Carnegie that's out in Pittsburgh. They've played 20 years of laughter and tears, 2 decades, so gorgeous and good. Thank God for this score, may he give them some more. And a hit tune, you know, Lord, you could. And on their worst days, when they simply can't raise their heads from the pillow and talk, may they smile to recall the sound in this hall when you welcomed people, when you welcome now the Boys of the Lock. Here they are. Thank you.
past, and the summer's come at last. Nest small birds, they are singing in the trees. Their little hearts are glad, but mine is very sad. For my true love is far away from me, and this strength I will repair to the core of Kildare, and it's there I'll find tidings of my dear. A livery I'll wear, and I'll comb back my hair, and in a suit of green I will appear, and this strength I will repair to the core of Kildare. And is there I'll find tidings of my dear, and this strength I will repair to the core of Kildare, and is there I'll find tidings of my dear. All that are in love and cannot it remove, I pity the pains that you endure. For experience lets me know that your hearts are full of woe, a pain that no mortal can cure. And this strength I will repair to the core of Kildare, and it's there I'll find tidings of my dear.
Cathal McConnell and the Curra of Kildare. He is a founder member of Boys of the Loch, and Dave Richardson has likewise been with the band since the 1970s. From our radio archives, Dave Richardson looked back on the early days of Boys of the Loch, and you heard Garrison Keillor introducing them at Carnegie Hall in 1988. At thistleradio.com, you'll find a playlist of this Thistle Pod. NPR's The Thistle and Shamrock airs radio like this each week. Find out how to tune in to public radio or hear an audio stream at our website, thistleradio.com. I'm Fiona Ritchie. Thanks for joining me.